Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the amazing things to me that I love about being here when the Super Bowl is here and we broadcast live from Media Row is that you see these former NFL players going around. We talked to Kyle Long earlier, and now we're about to talk to the leading rusher in Green Bay Packer history, and it's an honor to meet you, and I've enjoyed watching you play throughout all the years. I'm on Green. How you doing?
I'm good, Thomas. How you doing?
I'm all right. Tell me, you can call me Tommy. Tell me about Professor Amon Green. How'd you go from being an NFL running back and a very successful one to being a college professor?
It started in 2020, coming out of the 2019 year, and a friend of mine, we go to a local bar when I was living in Green Bay area.
It starts at a local bar, then.
Yeah, it starts at a local bar. We're both gamers. He worked at a company called OneSource, which is an IT company in the Green Bay area that kind of caters to either high schools or businesses that need good internet access. And so he was also on the committee of Lakeland University, where he went to college, and they had a committee meeting about building an esports team for the university, a D3 school in Plymouth, Wisconsin. He threw my name in the hat, and then at this dinner we did once a month, or lunch, he's like, Amon, I threw your name in the hat for two things. I was like, okay, you know me very well, so I know it's probably football and video games. He said, yep. So Lakeland University is looking to hire a coach in the next month or two. And so that was about November of 2019. And so I told him right away, here's my resume, here's my email, send me anybody who I need to contact and talk to over the phone. A week later, I had David Simon Jr., who was the director of social affairs, so student affairs on campus, and came to the house. We had about an hour walkthrough interview, me, him, and my wife, and then pretty much by the time of the interview, I was hired. And then a week later, so a day before my birthday, February 16th, that's when, our day
birthday
after.
Coming up?
Yep. So February 17th, I had the press conference of my introduction as the Lakeland University esports coach. And then a year later, that's when I became a professor, started teaching intro to esports, which involves team development, player development, coach development, business development. And it's more like it's like sports management, but it's esports management.
Are you at Nebraska now?
I was. So I coached my last semester there and taught and coached my last semester, fall semester at Nebraska. So now I'm the co-founder of Alumni Media Network, which is a network of all former athletes that basically want to do what we're doing right now, have a podcast, have a talk show that talk about. They talk about whatever topic they want to talk about.
So is that affiliated with a university or it's your own thing?
No, that's all my own thing.
Your
I'm
own
doing
thing.
Separate
so
of the university.
Former athletes or that want to become broadcasters, because media is so diffused now, right? With
Correct.
Podcasts and streaming, this and that and the other thing, you teach them the skills of basic journalism, how to write, how to talk, how to conduct themselves in a camera, diction, everything else. All that,
how to research a topic before you go on live, if it's live on the radio, live in person, the etiquette of sitting, how you sit, where the microphone needs to be, you know, all that little detail. And I mean, if they don't have it, I'm going to definitely welcome it to get them there. So it's myself, Gus Farad, and Craig Richardson, that director, manager, director of that, and managers of some of the other athletes that are going on and that are having their shows in the esports league.
I was kidding with them on earlier before we went on when Mark Ingram was in the studio years ago. I arm wrestled him and went down immediately before my arm snapped in two. Did the same with Amon just now. And if you look at the guns on this guy, if he told me to do my homework, I'm doing it, Amon. I'll tell you that, Professor. I'm not showing up unprepared.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your playing days. First of all, I always like to ask about the players' health. How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? You seem to be well, ambulatory.
Yeah, everything's going well health-wise. Obviously, you know, I still check in with myself, make sure I check under, I kick the tires, check under the hood.
What does that mean?
So that means check how my head's doing, check how my heart's doing, my lungs, all the stuff that my body, you know, when I was younger, I put my body through. For 12 years in the NFL, 3 years of college football at the D1 level, banging around, hitting around, shoulders, knees, ankles, my head. I take a really good look at it, and I go to the best doctors in town, you know, or in the state or in the country to make sure I'm getting the right diagnosis, that I'm, you know, aging well. And
how old are you, can I ask?
I'm 47 now. I'll be 48 in about a week and a half.
So. You're aging well. You don't look it, man. I mean,
you look
like you'd still play.
Thank you.
So when it comes to your health, knees, ankles, head, everything else, you good?
I'll say knees and ankles pretty good. Making sure, and the head, really, it's a mystery because the brain is still getting discovered. Right. I have a daughter that is into neurology now. She just graduated. She graduated a few years ago, so hopefully she could find something. You know, when her research, she's done a lot of research. She told us, hey, it's a lot out there that we don't know.
Yeah.
So you have
a daughter that's a neurologist?
Yes. She's studying to be a neurologist, yes, at Madison, University of Madison, Wisconsin.
That's awesome.
She's a badger.
She could find out what's wrong with her dad's head?
Yeah.
That joke's been used a couple of times,
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's a joke, but, you know, obviously something serious.
No, seriously.
Because, you know, as athletes that play a contact sport like we did in other sports like rugby or even basketball and soccer that – you know, you from the stats, it has just as many concussions.
Was
as
she
football.
An athlete?
She ran track and powerlifting.
Because you know, girls' soccer is a much
leader
when it comes to concussions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you know, not taking it lightly, but so it was being proactive about it and staying
on
top.
And I didn't mean to take it lightly at all.
Yeah.
I just know as a father, you know, the kids always figure out what's wrong with dad's head. They don't know what's going on in there.
Yeah.
Tell me about. As a fan, you know, we sit there and we look at the tape and we go, oh, he should have cut here, should have cut there, should have gone there, should have done this. What do you know as a running back, leading all-time running back in Green Bay history that we don't? What would help the fans to be more fair in evaluating a running back as we watch what goes on the field on Sunday?
You basically, as a fan, just like I do as a coach, because I coach high school football for over 10 years, in Wisconsin, and what I will look at my running back, look at the film, and ask them, what did they see? Because I'm not sitting in your shoes while you're getting the ball just handed to you and you're behind the offensive line and defensive line's trying to tackle you. We have a play design to go outside or inside or a power toss. What did your eyes tell you? If I see you make a difference, as a coach, I'm going to say, you know, I see this film, you should have cut this way, why'd you go that way? You know, what did your eyes tell you? And then after that, I'm like, I'm going to trust you and your answer and not, you know, mark you down and say that was a negative play on that. Because if your eyes told you one thing and you're reacting off that, I got to go with that because I'm standing on the sidelines 15, 20, 34 yards away. I don't see what you see.
Now, let's talk about that, the violence, the time, how fast the game moves.
Yes.
What we as fans don't realize, you're lined up, you're reading the keys, you're looking at this, you're looking at defenses, the quarterback's looking at defenses. This is all based on film study and everything else and tendency, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just before the play is called.
Yes.
Give me a normal play that you would have heard as a Green Bay Packer.
Normal run play that we did religiously, 93 blast. Green right, 93 blast on two.
All right, so there you go. That's the simplest that it gets, right?
Yep.
So from that point, you get in your stance and you're looking to see if the defense, you listen for the audible to see if there's the quarterback calls a different play.
Correct.
Take me from that moment, if you can put me in your shoes, Amon.
Yeah.
And tell me what you're seeing as a running back, what's going through your head, and that's not going through our head when we're drinking beer in the stands and watching a game and criticizing.
So going in my head, getting in my running back stance on my, you know, knees, hands on my knees, first thing I'm doing is I'm going to look opposite of where I'm going. So if I'm going to the left, so I'm going to look right so the defense thinks the ball's going to the right.
Try to mislead them.
Because I know linebackers used to watch my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Or even my head, I'll just point, like, obviously just go over here and, like, look like I'm looking for something on the right side.
All right. When that's I know a cat and mouse, right?
Cat and mouse. Because they, you know, good linebacker. Even guys on my team would tell me, Bernardo Harris, a few other guys said, Amon, sometimes you're looking at where you're going. You know, and I'm like, oh. So I started not to do that, or I just look opposite. So I look opposite, or I look. I do this, the soldier stare. I just a dead scare, right
thousand
at Brett.
Thousand yard stare.
Yeah, thousand yeah. yard stare at Brett's back, and just kind of look dead to the world. But then when the ball snapped, boom. But then also before that dead stare, I already as I got into my stance, I almost forgot. As I got into my stance, when I'm coming out the huddle, I'm already looking at seeing where the safeties and the linebackers are lining up. They're not probably in their final position, but at least they're in the area, and I can Photoshop that before I get in my running back stance, where I sometimes, if I'm low enough, I can't see directly over Brett's head and the lineman. So, but I got an idea where if it's the Bears, where it's Urlacher, if it's on the right, and Lance Briggs is on the left, and okay, at least I got an idea of where they're at. And Mike Brown might be about 15 yards deep, but he's on the somewhere left side, so I understand that process.
Are you thinking ahead to get into the second level at that point, or not yet?
I'm thinking ahead because I know the play. And so if the play design is 93 blast, where there's a potential backside cutback, I'm waiting to see if Urlacher or Briggs over-pursues, because if they over-pursue, and I can see that with the top of their helmets, then I got the cutback. But if they stay solid in the gaps, their play side gaps, then I'm going to just have to push the ball ahead. And maybe, you know, as long as I have a good, leg drive, I could get the, you know, get the 5-6 yards if the play is blocked perfectly. But if it's blocked, or I say almost perfectly, but if it's blocked perfectly, it's probably a 10-yard gain to a touchdown. So
let me ask you another question as a fan. We see you all on the sideline. I know you got to go in a minute because you're busy, and I appreciate you stopping by. Yeah. But we see you all talking. Is it always about the game, or is sometimes other stuff? Well, tell me what you're all talking about.
You had a teammate like I had, Brett Favre.
Yeah,
he's talking.
Take me through that. What would y'all talk about?
He's cracking a joke, or he's cracking other things that you shouldn't be hearing.
Yeah, I understand that. Don't please.
Yeah,
you're a professor.
No, he was a fun guy. And so, he would ask, hey, man, what you? I remember one time we had a conversation, and it was a Monday night game and TV timeout. So it was a long break. And he goes, Amon, how you feeling this game? I said, I'm feeling good. It's like this game just started. It's a Monday night in Lambeau. I can't remember who we're playing. Maybe Philly. I'm like, man. He's like, oh, man, has something happened to me funny this morning. I'm like, what? He said, I went hunting this morning. I'm like, what? You went hunting this morning on game day? He said, you know, I go hunting at like 4 or 5 a.m. I couldn't sleep, so I went, got up, got in the blind. I'm sitting there trying to, you know, get a shot in. And I saw one. I saw a deer walk up. Anybody was right underneath, so under my blind. I'm like, oh, and I'm like, blinds. And at that time, I learned that blinds were like 5-6 feet off the ground. And he said, and I kind of looked and peeked over, and I slipped out and fell.
Really? On game day?
On game day.
6 feet fell on the ground.
And I'm like, well, you're okay because you're playing. He's like, yeah, that's why he was laughing at me. He said, I'm good. I was like, this knucklehead is hunting on game day and then slipped out of his blind. I was like, what?
See, that's
going
the gold
on?
That we as fans love that we have no idea that's going on.
I'm like, okay. I said, glad you're not hurt.
If I'm asking you to summarize your career real quick, one play, do you ever have plays that just stick in your mind that you wake up one morning and it's always there, either good or bad?
I say for the good, I have both, but I'll say for the good, it's H2 Bob, where I went 98 yards and it's still a Packer record, the longest touchdown in Lambeau Field by a Packer player.
Against whom?
Against the Denver Broncos, the last regular season game of the 2003 season.
In
it
the
was
snow?
Against the Denver, you know, it's cold, no snow.
Okay.
Denver Broncos.
It ended with the Lambeau leap.
The run did, yeah.
Okay,
the
all
run
right.
did, and the game did. We won the game, and we went to our first wild card weekend.
Awesome.
Not first, but we went to a wild card weekend playoff game.
And
against
what about
the,
on the
49ers.
Other side? Maybe a negative thing.
Negative thing, I would say.
That's hard for you to let go of.
I say going and free agent to Houston because I never wanted to go to Houston.
Yeah.
It was more my agent kind of talked me into that, and I trusted him at that time, you know, being young. I was young. I would say young. I was in my 30s, but, you know, at that time, my whole focus was football and being a football player in Green Bay, and he came up with this crazy choice. You know, take your free agent visit to Denver and to Texas. For the Texans, they want you. I'm like, okay, that's good, but I don't want to be I want to be a Packer for life. And somehow, even though that contract got signed by me, it wasn't me. You know, so I was like, I always say to myself, I wish that I could have had those years back, you know, finishing my whole career in Green Bay because it was a fantastic opportunity that they gave me with the trade from Seattle, and it would have just been better for my career and better for me mentally to know that I finished my whole – I played my last 8, 9, 10 years in one team, and I did. I gave it all I had.
I could talk to you for 12 hours.
Yes,
so
we
I
could.
Know you gotta go. But leave me with one thought for the people watching the Super Bowl this Sunday and are going to be critical of a running back, whomever. I didn't even talk to you about the game.
Yeah, Saquon and Kareem Moss or Pacheco.
Yeah.
Like I said it earlier, it's you got to put yourself in those runners' shoes and what they see on that football field, because they see guys that are bigger than them and guys with ill intent trying to tackle them.
Ill intent.
So they're trying to
either, say the least.
Yeah,
ill
say
intent.
The least.
Yeah.
Keep you from getting a first down. Keep you from getting a touchdown.
That want it as bad as you do.
Exactly. They want to put you on the ground as bad as you want to score the touchdown or get a first down conversion. So you're in that position, and you hear all types of noise. They're screaming. There's yelling. There's the arm reaching out to at you, trying to grab and rip the ball out of your arm. It's all those sounds going on, and at the end of the play, it's all of a sudden it's quiet because you just got tackled and the play is over. So just put yourself in that situation for then times that by 50, because it might be 50 plays that you run.
Does anything beat speed in the NFL?
Sometimes.
Really?
Very few times.
Knowledge, but
I'll say, but sometimes speed will mount. It's hard to beat sometimes.
Man, look, it's been a pleasure. I hope you get in the Hall of Fame. All-time leading rusher in the history of Green Bay Packers.
Yes,
you belong
here.
Do I remember you throwing a long touchdown pass?
Two of them.
I do remember.
I'm 50%, so I'm 1 for 2. One was completed. One was just a little bit over, which was good because it would have got intercepted if it was short. So it went out of bounds. I think Donald Driver helped me with that. But the next one, he caught for me in Detroit.
I do remember that.
Yep.
Good.
So
I'm on a pleasure to meet you. Nice to talk to
all
you.
Right,
man. Enjoy yourself in New Orleans.
Thank you.
I'm on Green, leading rusher in the history of the Green Bay Packers. 925, back in a flash, WWE.